Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, brought to you today by SaneBox. Get control of that ever-bulging email inbox. We're telling you, SaneBox is your answer. It will preserve your sanity. Go to SaneBox.com/martini for your no-obligation two-week trial, plus an additional $25 in credit if you sign up through us. That's SaneBox.com/martini. Jim Garrity is on vacation this week. Ian Tuttle of National Review is here. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. As always, or at least most of the time, we have a good martini, good, bad, and crazy for you today. We start with the good, and it comes from someone you would not really expect it from. It's from Chuck Schumer, the Democratic senior senator from New York State. If the Democrats win back the Senate, he will likely be the majority leader next year due to the retirement of Harry Reid, but Chuck Schumer is saying something that I think most conservatives would agree with when it comes to Olympians, their medals that they win in Rio, and how it affects their bottom line.
Now, years and years of unrelenting training, representing our country on a global stage, achieving one of the greatest feats in the world in their sport, our athletes deserve thanks and praise, not a bill from the IRS.
So basically, the athletes, if they win a medal, they have to pay taxes on it because the medals that they win, gold, silver, or bronze, have monetary value, and that's considered income, and they have to pay taxes on that. And Chuck Schumer's saying that they should be exempt from that due to all of the effort they put in. They're representing our country, so forth and so on. But Ian, he makes a fabulous argument for lower taxes, or in some cases, no taxes, because he's basically saying if you put your blood, sweat, and tears into a goal, and you achieve your goal, and you make your country better as a result of your tireless work, you shouldn't be punished by your government. Thank you, Chuck Schumer, for that free market advocacy.
Yeah, golly gee, I wonder who else this might apply to. The vast number of CEOs and the rest that are constantly, Wall Street types and the rest that are scapegoated by the Democrats as exploiting the workers and the lower classes, et cetera, to gain their wealth when most of these people, I'm sure there are a couple riders in there, but the vast majority of these people have put in countless hours of hard work, et cetera, in their own fields. And profit handsomely from it. And under Chuck Schumer's logic, perhaps they should be able to take some more of that money home. This is Schumer almost certainly trying to attach himself to the Olympic winners, who are always, at least for a period of time, sort of national heroes, and to a certain extent, deservedly so, for representing us abroad in the prestigious competition. But it really is astonishing how unself-aware certain people can be from time to time.
And, of course, the standard bearer for his party just last week promised to raise taxes on the middle class. She was in Nebraska with Warren Buffett clapping lustily behind her in the crowd, cheering for higher taxes on the middle class. So mm-hmm. A little bit of disconnect there.
Well, not to mention with the sitting vice president who once proclaimed that it was patriotic for the wealthier to pay taxes. So there really is some cognitive dissonance here, I think.
Patriotic duty. Wow. Well, speaking of Hillary Clinton, let's go to the bad martini. This is courtesy of Town Hall. Iran executed a nuclear scientist convicted of spying for the United States, an official said Sunday, acknowledging for the first time that the nation secretly detained and tried a man who was once heralded as a hero. Shahram Amiri defected to the United States at the height of Western efforts to thwart Iran's nuclear program. When he returned in 2010, he was welcomed with flowers by government leaders and even went on the Iranian talk show circuit. Then he mysteriously disappeared. How Amiri was exposed as a spy is still unclear, especially since he was praised by the Iranian government just a few years ago. But according to Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, his name was mentioned multiple times in emails by former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton on her private, unsecured email server. And Cotton himself talked about this on CBS's Face the Nation on Sunday.
You mentioned the Iranian scientist that was recently executed. Now, of course, I'm not going to comment on what he may or may not have done for the United States government. But in the emails that were on Hillary Clinton's private server, there were conversations among her senior advisors about this gentleman. That goes to show just how reckless and careless her decisions was to put that kind of highly classified information on a private server. But I think her judgment is not suited to keep this country safe.
Ian, in today's Morning Jolt, Jim points out that it's a little bit more complicated when it comes to exactly who's responsible for this man being executed, because he did disappear. He wound up in the U.S. for a little while. Then he decided to go back to Iran, and perhaps his own actions ended up costing him his life more than what Hillary Clinton did. But her loose conduct with the server, which, as Jim Comey has pointed out, certainly could have been hacked by other countries. We just don't know because the security parameters were so weak, it's hard to even tell if it was hacked, is another example of just her horrific decision making.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a this is a very complex story, and there are a lot of details here, a lot of gaps that no one has filled, at least publicly, yet. And there's no good way to say, you know, A caused B here. But we do have Jake Sullivan, one of Hillary Clinton's top advisors, emailing her with pretty clear references to this gentleman as, you know, our friend, and different events sort of in his interaction with the U.S. and then following his return to Iran, prompt emails between the two of them over the course of a couple of years. And then, of course, we have the events of the last few days where he's been executed. And you take this incident, again, all in an unsecured email server, easily hacked, almost surely hacked, you know, even national security experts have admitted as much. FBI Director James Comey said that it was extremely likely. You combine that with previous revelations that Hillary Clinton's email had included the names of confidential human intelligence sources, people who were undercover in foreign countries working for the U.S. government. I mean, this is just bad judgment doesn't even begin to cover it. This is just the reckless endangerment of American lives doing important intelligence work abroad. This latest story just further confirms what was Comey's phrase, extremely careless. I mean, that's a wild understatement. This is recklessness, truly, truly, with people's lives and with state secrets. And the fact that she's easily the front runner for the presidency for the next 4 years is a national indictment.
In so many different ways.
This is true. Yeah, it's absolutely right.
If Hillary Clinton just had SaneBox, she'd be fine because she could have known. She could have set up a whole classified folder, and then she would have known not to have those on her private server. And perhaps all of this could have been avoided, of course, if she had just done it the way she should have and had the proper security through the State Department. That probably would have been an even smarter way to go. But SaneBox is your solution for email sanity, whether you've got 100 in your inbox or 20,000. You've got too many to read through probably, but you don't want to delete them all. So get SaneBox, and it'll sort through your email and moves all the nonsense into different folders, so the only messages in your inbox are the ones you actually want to see. Aside from removing all the junk so you can focus on messages that matter, there's a great feature called Black Hole. We talked about that, where you can just drag and click it over. You don't have to reply and say, please unsubscribe me from this list. I don't care about what you're talking about. Move that email into the folder. You'll never hear from them again. Also, an interesting little thing that I've received this week is a report from SaneBox on what I've actually accomplished as a result of having this on my account, and that's that I saved 5.5 hours of work by letting SaneBox sift through my stuff and file it into the proper folder. So definitely helping productivity, and it can help you too. Visit SaneBox.com/martini today. They'll throw in an extra $25 in credit on top of the 2-week free trial if you sign up through us. You do not have to enter your credit card information until or unless you decide to buy. Nothing to lose. Check it out today. SaneBox.com/martini. SaneBox.com/martini. All right, on to the crazy martini now. And Ian, I think we might have slightly different views on this, but let's just talk about the facts first of all. This is courtesy of Politico. Evan McMullen, the chief policy director for Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives, will offer discontented members of his party an option this November by launching an independent conservative bid for president. Who is Evan McMullen? Good question. I didn't know until today either. He has never held elected office, was an operations officer for the CIA for 11 years, from 1999 to 2010, according to his LinkedIn page. He earned an MBA in 2011 from the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania, which, as we all know, Ian, is the best. It's the very best of all schools, the best possible education you could possibly get. It really is the best. He also worked at Goldman Sachs as a volunteer refugee resettlement officer for the UN and as a deckhand on a commercial fishing boat in Alaska. His statement to ABC News is, quote, "In a year where Americans have lost faith in the candidates of both major parties, it's time for a generation of new leadership to step up. It's never too late to do the right thing, and America deserves much better than either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton can offer us. I humbly offer myself as a leader who can give millions of disaffected Americans a conservative choice for president. So, Ian, I think you and I would both probably agree you could open up the phone book, if you can find a phone book anymore, close your eyes and put your finger into the white pages and probably come up with a better choice for president than what we've got right now. The question is, A, the timing. Most of the states are at the point now where you can't even get on the ballot. Mm-hmm. Fundraising is going to be an issue, although the Kochs are allegedly interested, and he's got some of the old Republican hands like Rick Wilson apparently ready to work on the campaign. The guy's got fewer Twitter followers than me, and I'm not running for president. Under 1,000, I think he said he has. So anyone who's obviously served our country for the CIA deserves tremendous respect and probably in a vacuum is better than Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. But the odds of him making a dent or having a chance to be competitive here seems pretty remote. And in that sense, you have to wonder whether it's worth it all.
There's definitely that. Odds are he doesn't get on many ballots, if any. In the event that he does, you'll arguably he would be a better conscience vote, especially for social conservatives than, you know, say Gary Johnson, who's been terrible on religious liberty, among other things, etc. Right. The problem is it's hard to say this because I do think there is some honor just in putting yourself up there when we have two such awful practical options here. The real problem, to my mind, is that the last sort of available option to save conservative hopes in November is for things to get so bad for Trump that party regulars dump him. Jonah Goldberg wrote about this on Friday in the G-File. I mean, the best case scenario now is that Trump drags down the down ballot prospects so much that eventually Ryan and other folks say, you know, that's it. We can't do this. We can't risk it. We've got to dump him. And you get, you know, some sort of machinations within the party to do that, which you can do under the rules. It would be complex and it would be explosive and the rest. But what McMullen's entry does, especially if it really gains sort of traction, is I think crystallizes party regulars' backing of Trump, and it also hardens, I think, that idea among most Trump supporters, even fringe hold their nose Trump supporters, that there's this element within conservatism that will do sort of anything to undermine Trump. I mean, we saw this when David French was being sort of floated as an idea. McMullen is unfortunately creates the same sort of problems, although David was much earlier in the cycle, and, you know, et cetera. The second thing is the electoral prospects here suggest that if McMullen were to win anywhere, it would be Utah. And the problem with this scenario is, especially if, say, he were to win Utah, Gary Johnson were to win someplace else, the odds are that those are going to be votes pulled away from Trump. The danger here is that you could, hypothetically, see enough electoral votes and enough popular votes both pulled away from Trump that when he loses, which I'm staking my money on, regardless of whether McMullen's in the race or not, there will be an obvious scapegoat for Trump backers. You know, the establishment put in this third candidate. He tore votes away from Trump. If they hadn't done this, Trump could have won, you know, X, Y, Z, and we wouldn't have to suffer Hillary for 4 years, etc. If we have to hear that, you know, for four or, God forbid, 8 years, that's going to be extremely damaging, and it's going to really help to entrench that rift in conservatism in the Republican Party between the never Trump, more or less, sort of anti-Trump coalition and the real Trump fanatics. That would be a serious problem, too. Whereas, you know, if Trump loses convincingly in an ostensibly two-way race, then yes, you'll have the hardcore backers who will say, you know, the election's rigged, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, statistically, you'll have basically no evidence for that. There won't be an available scapegoat that's really plausible. Again, enormous respect to Mr. McMullen. And again, as you say, Greg, he's probably more qualified than both of the candidates, as are, you know, most of the bums on the sidewalk in New York City, and just about anybody, you know, Buckley's, you know, first 200 people in the Boston phone book. Unfortunately, though, you risk doing some, at least potentially, you risk doing electoral damage that could entrench sort of the Trump phenomenon in a way that, that might not happen if he's not there. So I guess we'll just have to see if this catches fire.
If this does catch fire, you do have McMullen here, who was with the CIA for 11 years, so he's got more public service than Trump. And from what we know so far, he at least is able to keep his mouth shut about classified information, which is better than the Democratic nominee. So really, only knowing his name and his LinkedIn profile, he's already a better choice. It's just probably not necessarily the best tactical move at the time. So
that's right.
Ian, good to have you here this week. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
All right. Looking forward.
Ian Tuttle of National Review is in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for listening to the Three Martini Lunch, brought to you again by SaneBox. Get that email inbox back to normal with SaneBox. Sign up at SaneBox.com/martini for your no-obligation two-week trial, plus $25 in credit. SaneBox.com/martini. Please join us again on Tuesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.